Bava Metzia, Perek Beis, Mishnah Test 2-9, and there's really two parts to this Mishnah. The first is going to say, essentially, you need to have your common sense with you. If you see someone's animal, and it seems that the owner doesn't know where the animal is, that's called an aveda, you got to bring it back. And if you see an animal, and presumably the owner does know where it is, so then you don't have to deal with it, of course, you can leave it be. So the Mishnah says, Ezohi Aveda, what constitutes a lost animal? Matza Chamora Para, you see some donkey or some cow, Rowan Baderech, it's just, you know, grazing on the side of the path or something. Ezo Aveda, you don't have to assume maybe it's lost. No, just leave it be. Presumably the owner does know where it is. Chamor V'Kelev Hafuchin, however, if you find a donkey and its saddle is like on its belly instead of on its back, it's like turned over, meaning this is now, in, you know, been left derelict, and it's who knows what's happening to it. Presumably the owner doesn't know where it is. Or para ratza ben hakramim, or you see a cow that's running through the vineyard. The point is that this is bad news for the cow, it's going to get injured. Same as if you see a cow like running away from the city towards the fields or something like that. So then harezu aveda, you have to say, listen, obviously the owner doesn't know this is going on, wouldn't let this happen to his cow or his donkey, and therefore that's an aveda and you have to return it. Hechziro, that's din number one. Din number two is that there's no limit to the amount of times you need to return it if you have the opportunity to do Hashavas Aveda. Says the Mishnah, Hechziro uvarcha, Hechziro uvarcha. Even if you return it and it runs away, you return the animal, it runs away again. Afilo arba v'chamisha pamim, doesn't matter how many times. The Mishnah says four or five, but there's no real limit at all. That's just the standard way the Mishnah talks. Then chayav l'hachzira, you have an obligation to return the animal. And the reason that you can't just say, you know, obviously the person who's in charge here is a poshe, he's being negligent and not locking up his animal, which keeps him getting out, is because the pasuk says, Hashev Shneimar, the pasuk says, Hashev Tashivim. It's a double expression, like you will certainly return it. The point is the fact that it does that doubling up of the language, and the verse tells you you have to do it even if it means many times. Okay, that's part number one of the Mishnah. Part number two of the Mishnah, a new point. The point here of the Mishnah is that the Torah does not obligate you to lose money in order to return your friend's lost object. So meaning, if you're sitting around, like, not working, you know, after hours, and you see a lost object, then you have to go return it. If you're working, so the Mishnah will basically say that you're entitled to be compensated for the lost income that's happening because you stopped your hourly construction job to go do the lost object, to return the lost object. So the Mishnah says, Hayabatal Misela, if a person has a construction job, agricultural job, whatever, everyone in the time of the Mishnah was like basically a menial labor, doing laborious work, that strenuous laborious work. So if a person lost a sela worth of wages, you know, whatever it is, you know, $10 of wages, to go return this object, lo yomar lo, he, the worker who returned the object, can't say to the person who lost the object, ten li sela, listen, you owe me a full sela, all $10, because you know, I lost my wages returning your object. Elenosno scharo kapoel batel. But he does have to compensate him just like a worker who's batel, who's not working. The idea is like this. If a person is a bricklayer or a digging ditches or, you know, picking oranges in the sun, whatever the story is, so then he's getting paid a decent wage, a fair wage, let's say, but the point is that's a lot of hard work. And there's room to say, listen, he would happily take a break from his hard work and work much less hard and get paid less for it. So the Mishnah's point here is that he doesn't get his full wage as if he was digging a ditch, because he's not digging a ditch. He's doing much less work than that, and he's happy to sort of do less work. And that being the case, he gets paid, says the Mishnah, as a poel batel, like a person who's not working. Now there's two basic approaches to what this means. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it means like a, you know, unemployed person, like, I don't know, like a person standing as a human scarecrow, sitting around, you know, whatever, standing by opening a gate or something, a doorman or something. So the point is, that's like a minimal amount of, like, unemployment wage, whatever it is, like least amount of wage, because a person is doing essentially no work. Their other pshat, the Ramah Paskins, is that it's how much a person would take to do this kind of work. In other words, there's, you know, for $10 an hour, a person will just sit at a door and just open and close the door for people. He'll take $20 an hour if he has to dig ditches and lay bricks. But there's like a middle range, which is if a person has to be a delivery guy, he has to go now and take this lost object to the owner, so he's not just sitting on his rear end, he's also not sweating in the sun, it's a little in the middle. So the point is that would be, I don't know what, a $12 an hour job to be a delivery guy. So the Ramah holds that the din would be poel batel, means he's not getting the full wages he would get for his hard work, but he's getting paid like any other guy would be to be a delivery guy. You know, I'll call it $12 instead of $10 an hour, which an idle worker would get. Okay, now, what happens if a person says, listen, I understand that delivery guys get $12 an hour, but I get paid $20 an hour for laying bricks, and I need the money. I'm not interested in $12 an hour. I don't want the break. I can't afford the break. I have a family to feed. I need my full wages. So then, since the Torah doesn't obligate him to lose money if he doesn't want to, so then he essentially can make a tanai. He can speak it out, stipulate, either with the person who lost it or with a bezdin, even an ad hoc bezdin of three, and say, listen, I'm prepared to give up an hour of work, but I make $20 an hour and have to get paid my full wages. In which case, if the bezdin gives that the thumbs up, or the person who lost gives it the thumbs up, then he certainly is entitled to get back his full wages. That's what the mission says here. Im yesham bezdin, if there is a bezdin, so then master b'fnei bezdin, he can make that stipulation in front of the bezdin. Again, I'm taking an hour off my work, but I'm not getting paid as a delivery guy $12 an hour. I'm getting paid as a bricklayer $20 an hour. And then he will get a full, he'll be able to, because he made that condition ahead of time, get reimbursed the full $20 of lost wages that he incurred for going to return this lost object. Now, what happens if im ein sham bezdin? What if there's just no one to make this stipulation in front of? Bifnei mi yasna. So then, who should he make the stipulation with? Asked the Mishnah rhetorically. So the answer is shalo kodem. He says, nope, if there's no one to make a condition with, so then the worker, the guy who found this object, his personal financial concerns come first, and the Torah does not obligate him to lose money on behalf of the guy who lost it, and therefore, if there's no one with whom he can make this condition, so he can't get paid his full $20 an hour for laying bricks, he can say, listen, I'm working now, I just can't deal with this lost object, someone else has to do it, I'm sorry. And he's exempt from doing it, because shelo kodem, says the Mishnah, his financial concerns do take priority. The Torah doesn't require him to lose money to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda.